Hi, I'm the self-development coach, Johnny Lawrence, and welcome to the Self-Development Podcast.
And it's only when I was sitting on the local bridge at that time of morning that somebody actually came up to me and sat down with me and was really just reassuring me with no judgment and was very much calm sitting next to me, no eye contact, and being so relaxed. Now, that meant everything, and he probably saved my life, if I'm honest. And that lives with me because that persona and that, you know, the way he came across and the way he talked is exactly what I needed.
Today, I'm speaking to Paul Thompson, who looks a lot like he's in a tropical island, but he has a secret. He'll admit it in a minute. But Paul Thompson is a certified life coach who specializes in helping men of all ages and backgrounds to cope with their challenges. He coaches his clients in a way that utilizes both their heads and their hearts. He first learned about coaching when he hit a roadblock in his own life and was struggling to move past it. The techniques he developed were so successful that his friends and his Instagram followers began asking him for help with their challenges. This motivated him to turn his newfound passion into a full-time career. Paul has helped countless people move past their challenges, and today I hope to discover what he has learned along the way. How are you today, Paul?
Yeah, very well. Firstly, thank you so much for having me on. It really means a lot, mate. And secondly, this is actually Plymouth. It looks like Spain. It looks like Europe. It looks like, I don't know, Africa or whatever. But this is Costa del Plymouth right there. And yeah, the palm tree, the blue sky, the orange. Yeah, it does look tropical. But yeah, it's a beautiful day here in Plymouth today.
Mate, you have definitely got the best backdrop that I've had so far. Like, no doubt about it. I spoke to someone in Los Angeles and they had the decency to close the curtains. but yeah, you're out there flaunting it, you know, with your palm trees in the background and your blue skies and your orangina, which is in front of you.
For those that I've just taken advantage of this week, like in Plymouth, it's been, well, probably where you are actually, it's actually beautiful. It's all week, they forecast, I think Thursday, Friday, to be even hotter. And as you know, this part of the world, it just sells itself. And all about environment, mate. And I feel I can talk more openly and have that relatable conversation if it's mental health or whatever, when there's a nice environment, you know, and this is the perfect scenario. So
you're absolutely right. Environment is key. Environment will always trigger us and cue us to behave in a certain way. And you are clearly like living the dream now. And I love that. I think that's brilliant. but mate, listen, like for those that might not have come across you yet, like tell people a bit about yourself and your journey so far.
Yeah, so I'm a mental health advocate. I advocate with men, mental health, especially for, well, really to break the stigma of, you know, men, you know, suffering in silence and struggling with their conversations in the workplace, at home, due to a struggle or a childhood trauma or an anxiety issue, anything mental health related. I'm all about, you know, normalizing that conversation due to my own struggles, really, and, you know, throughout childhood into adulthood and even today, struggling, even last night, struggling, you know. And I suffered a lot with mental health, with depression, with anxiety, childhood trauma, and so much more. And, you know, I was in a position where I obtained professional help after a breakdown at the age of 32, where things hit rock bottom. And, you know, I am all about giving back. I'm all about really having prevention and an education, because I don't want to see anyone suffer and struggle what I've been through. So I campaign predominantly on Instagram with posts, with videos, with relatable content that can hopefully just help somebody. And, you know, I'm all about just really getting that message out there. And, you know, and I've been doing this for two, three years. And, you know, within that time, it's really helped me as well. It's therapy for me, Johnny, you know. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me, really. And obviously, we'll go on more in the podcast. But, yeah, you know, I just enjoy doing it, you know.
Yeah, and you're what I love is I get the opportunity to speak to exceptional coaches and people that are trying to make differences in the world in a positive way or a helpful way. And it always makes me smile when I see somebody who is definitely living their purpose. And that is you. I mean, I laughed a lot this morning. I saw your reel. It might be an old one, but I loved it. It was the one where you kill people with kindness and you said you went into the shop and you were just, I've been in that situation. I've got goosebumps now because it's like, It was just perfect the way you said it. It's just absolutely perfect. You're so right. Like, because some people do that, you know, they're having bad days and they're taking out on people. And that's a really subtle and playful way to sort of say to someone, cheer up, love, or cheer up, mate, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes it can't be that way. Everyone's got their own private struggles and stuff like that. But it was just a really powerful video, which I thought was really well put together. So good effort on that one. I like that.
And I think, you know, I can openly admit in my 20s and even in my teenage years, I probably would have been a little bit hot-headed and would have reacted really because of the triggers and stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, because I'm in a calm place, my mindset's pretty calm. I'm pretty stable in my environment. I thought there's no point consuming energy. There's no point wasting energy on somebody's behavior, which is not my issue. So yeah, it was quite a nice feeling walking out of Morrison's knowing that, you know, she was probably put in her place in the best, best possible way with karma. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I always say to clients, like, don't pick up the bag. Some people put a bag down and they look at you and ask, they're subliminally asking you to pick it up. You know, maybe that bag's full of anger or rage or whatever, but very often we pick it up and we carry it out the shop with us, you know? And it's a sort of very simple way to put it. I mean, and you're right, like that kindness. Now, I'd like to use an example, actually. If you think about the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock situation. Now, imagine if Will Smith had just walked up to Chris Rock and said in front of everybody, actually, Chris, my wife's got alopecia and, you know, she's really sensitive about it. So if you could just apologize to everybody right now, that would be great. That would have been... what a different story that would have been the next day. But instead, we haven't seen Will Smith since. And it looks to me, as someone who doesn't know, that he's having a lot of challenges elsewhere in his life, which is what most people are. Most people, most men, most women, we're all suffering with things in silence. And, you know, one of the things I'm sure you've said before is that, you know, you've got to go careful in people's lives because you don't know what they're going through at the time. You know, you really, you know, it's so important. I mean, what led you to want to help people, do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, it really started back in 2016 where I was in recovery, actually. When I had my breakdown, like I said earlier, I was sort of in recovery with my counselling, long-term counselling, having therapy. And really, I was having a reflection of myself as I was healing to know that, hang on a minute, I've got something here to give back because of my, I would say unique experiences, because they are really, because of the childhood experiences, the being in foster care and having the suicidal attempts, if you like. There is a mixed bag of real life challenges that I've gone through. And I was in a position where, you know, I was dedicated and focused to actually give back because I was in a good place, you know. So I achieved a bit of youth work with my local council back in 2016 because young people with mental health was, you know, it still is very close to my heart. And I wanted to give back in that respect. And it really gave me a taste of getting involved in men mental health awareness. And it was only nearly 3 years ago I set up a service called Males Aloud, which was out there in the community, helping men to talk, helping men to be encouraged to have a conversation if it's via a football match, if it's a group meet, a walk and talk, a golf event, to really accommodate a safe environment and a comfortable environment for men to really reach out. If it's a little bit of banter in a change of room, it's a little bit of a domino effect with a one-to-one or a group session where somebody speaks and then another person will speak. It's about really just, you know, getting men to talk and normalizing conversations, really. And I really, really got involved in the community in setting up Males Aloud as a service, which is nostalgia for anyone that wants to see it on social media. Unfortunately, it's not going now. But that's led me to do what I'm doing now with life coaching and motivational speaking, because, you know, I still got the desire and fire in my belly to really to give back in the community. And, doing the life coaching with men, the reason why I opted to get involved in life coaching is because counselling may not be the answer for men and women, and coaching may be the answer where, you know, the present moment could be a struggle if it's a self-esteem, confidence, relationship problem, working on, you know, anxiety self-care techniques. So much of a mixed bag with the coaching I do. And, you know, the clients that I have worked with and still work with now have really benefited, because that's all they really need, because they may have gone to their GP before and, you know, they've referred the patients to NHS counselling, which could be about a 2-year waiting list. You know, and it may not be the answer. The GP may say, look, you know, you may need this, or we feel you need this, but that may not be the answer. And I get a lot of feedback by that. And there's nothing wrong with counselling, by the way, and it is so much needed for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it may not be the answer for others. And coaching was something that I really wanted to do. And in lockdown, in the first lockdown and second, actually, I got qualified at home as a life coach and mindfulness coach. And I wanted to pursue that as a career, really. And it really taken off due to my output on social media with Instagram, especially about doing relatable content with videos, with posts, and, you know, doing, you know, motivational speaks and whatever. And it really really gave me an insight about how much that's needed, really. And, you know, with life coaching as a role, it's not really something that is quite popular and desirable here in the Southwest. There's not many life coaches around. And I took a risk. I really took a risk with it, thinking that, you know, this could work or it could not work, but it did. Yeah. And I've probably had about 50 clients over the 9 months since I've been doing it. And wow. I'm actually booked up until August now.
Wow. And
do you know what, Johnny, it's amazing, because with the coaching I do, it can fluctuate. It could be a nature walk. It could be a pub. It could be a library. It could be a cafe. It could be something that's so comfortable for that person, because, you know, as you know, it's about having a conversation in the same environment. And, you know, if the guys are saying, look, can we go to the beach today or go for a walk? I'll be all over it, you know.
Yeah.
And it actually feels like I'm not working sometimes. You know, I'm in my shorts.
What do you mean, like now? like now? Yeah.
You know, and it's the perks of the job. I mean, the other side of the coin, it can be a little bit of a trigger.
Yeah.
It can be a little bit stressful. And only yesterday I had some uncomfortable news in the morning where it had me in a little bit of a wobble and anxiety. So it's about having therapy. It's about having supervision for myself, because I'm the problems and, you know, conversations that I'm having can be a trigger. It could be a trigger for any of us. So it's about having that life balance and work balance. But yeah, and that's where I am now. I go into schools, colleges, employers, and even football clubs now to really have a conversation and an education and prevention on mental health, and about how we can have that conversation. And if, you know, if somebody's a boss or a teacher, it's about also how we can approach somebody in the right way about, you know, asking if they're okay and asking twice and knowing what to say and how to say it. So all these elements are really needed in the community. And, you know, as we know, mental health is a massive problem, especially with lockdown. And that's what I do, mate. You know, that's basically what I do in the community. And it's therapy for me, Johnny, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you said about asking twice. You're so right, because very often the automatic, especially in the UK, it's a very British response. Are you okay? Yep, I'm fine. How are you? You know?
Yeah.
And actually, somebody said to my wife the other day, are you okay? And she said, yeah, good. How are you? And then they looked at her and they went, are you sure? And then she just offloaded and she said, I've just guaranteed that person will never ask me that again. I was just like, yeah, you might have done, actually. But, you know, all joking aside, I mean, I think what speaks to you the best, in my opinion, is that, you know, you are educated on what you're doing, but it's that experience that informs that wisdom. Like, you know, nothing against anyone that hasn't had any sort of unpleasant experiences on a deep level, but when you have, it changes your perspective on things. It opens up doors and ways of thinking that weren't there before. It's just as you said before when we were off camera, you know, it makes you stronger. These experiences make us stronger. They do. And I know it's almost impossible to hear it in the moment. It is. You know, if you're having a really crappy day and someone says, oh, it makes you stronger sort of thing. It does a little bit. You like roll your eyes a little bit, but it's true. It is true. It does happen. And I think when it comes to coaching, I'm with you. Like, I think psychotherapy, counseling all has its place, probably with the more serious and more sort of mental illnesses more than mental health challenges that we all face and a bit more than that. But I think it comes down to with coaching, when it comes to somebody going to the doctor about their mental health or their emotional health, they go there because they want a fix. They want a tablet. They want somebody to take the pain away or give them the answers. And that's not life. That isn't life. Unfortunately, what we offer as coaches is accountability. We because it's my belief that everybody has the answer to their challenges. It's just terrifying. And they can't do it on their own, you know, and that's when people like you come in and you sit with them, you hold that space for them because they're not able and you are. And you're in that position where you're removed from the situation and you can listen and you can reflect and you can get people to, because I don't know about you, but as a coach, I do listen to people's pasts, but only to inform the present, because coaching is all about looking forward. It's all about moving forward. It's all about trying to let go of them shackles that have held you back, so that you can move forward in a positive direction or a helpful direction. I've got a question for you. Do you have a goal in life? Do you have that one thing that you want to achieve, but no matter how hard you try, there's always something that seems to stop you?
I found myself sort of stuck in a rut, really.
I've always wanted to write a book, but I've never done it.
I just felt completely stuck in a hole and I didn't want to be in it, but I didn't know how to get out of it.
For a long time, that was me too, until I figured out a way to finally overcome my limiting beliefs and not take no for an answer. And I want to teach you to do the same thing. That's why I've designed the Life Goal Discovery 4-day masterclass.
I feel probably in a more positive place now than I felt in a long, long time.
It's genuinely changed my perspective on everything I do on a daily basis.
I've done big things. I've done well.
4 days of on-demand coaching sessions from myself, showing you how to fulfill your potential and get closer to your goals. Do you want to discover a path to that one thing that you always wanted to do? Stop what you're doing now and sign up for my masterclass by heading over to schoolofselfdevelopment.com. You've helped a lot of people overcome their challenges in their lives. I mean, what's been one of the most challenging things that you've been through in your life that's informed your experiences?
Yeah, I think I said earlier with my suicidal attempts, I tried to take my own life on 4 or 5 occasions when I had my breakdown at the age of 32. I'd be quite vocal with that, you know, if it's with my talks, if it's blogs, etc. And the reason being is because it's important to really talk about it, really, because there are so many people, especially men, that are or have been in that position to wanting to take their own life. And it's really important that, you know, people speak up that have been through it, because it's relatable. It's relatable to people. It's real. It's no shame. And I always say to people, you know, I was in that position because I exceeded all help. I obtained all the strength I could in that position I was in. And, you know, like I say to people now, if it's through the talk, there's always a solution. There's always a positive and a way out. It's just taking that step to receive and understand and, you know, receive help and understand and really just take that massive step, that first initial massive step to, you know, understand and accept that something's not quite right. And yeah, that was the most challenging thing I've ever been through, Johnny. And, you know, being at the hospital, I was sectioned. And yeah, it was a very difficult time, but, you know, there are positives out of it because it's made me the person I am today. I wouldn't be doing the campaigning now. I won't be doing the work I do. But also as a person, more importantly, I've got the lived experiences.
Yeah.
It's given me the gratitude. It's given me the focus to be strong and have self-care techniques and potential triggers put to bed if they occur. You know, I have the awareness and education to really understand me if something's going to happen. And that's why I implement to people in the community, if it's through my clients, if they are in or potentially in that position, or if it's you know, with the community talks, because, you know, it unfortunately it's a common situation we're in where people are feeling like that. And, you know, the more people talk about it, especially people that have been through it, the more that we can have prevention and an education for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ask you before, so if you know, feel free to tell me that you don't want to talk about it, but are you okay to talk about the suicidal thoughts and attempts and stuff? Because I know that, you know, from my own personal experiences, I've been to dark places, and let's just say I can fully understand not even how someone can, you know, plan their suicide. You know, because sometimes, you know, when I've been working with people, I've asked them about that, and they've said to me, "Yeah, I was thinking about taking pills." You know, and it's like, wow, you've started to plan this sort of thing. But I think I'm talking about as well the people that could do it completely caught up in their emotions and just make a bad decision, and it's a permanent decision. I've experienced that myself, where I've thought to myself, geez, I could have done something really stupid in that moment. Thankfully, I didn't, you know? So I think what I'm trying to get to really is, I think people talk about suicide, like even saying the word, it sounds like you're almost saying a racist word or sexist word. It feels like a bad word. And what I want to talk about is the feelings that surround those moments, because I think that nobody talks about that because it's hard to say and it's hard to hear. And I like to tackle those moments, because someone like yourself, I mean, I've watched a few of your videos and heard some of your talks and stuff like that. And like, you speak with power, mate. It's very obvious that you were really in those moments. And I suppose what I'm getting to is, there might be a guy, girl, whatever out there who's listening and is struggling with their mental health and is having thoughts, but doesn't realize. And those thoughts are escalating as we speak, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, what could you bring to the table when it comes to how do people feel in those moments? What's going on? Because again, sorry, I keep asking you questions that I'm bloody talking, but like there's also like the lack of understanding from other people too, where they look at someone and they say, oh, that person was selfish for committing suicide. But in that moment, that person honestly, for whatever reason, believes that the world is better off without them.
Yeah.
They actually feel like they're doing them a favor. So yeah, I'll shut up now.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right what you're saying, Johnny. Absolutely right. And for me, for my experience, it was a plan. My attempts, it wasn't something that was a flash in the pan. It was something that was a plan for me because of the build-up of triggers, build-up of the bullying in the workplace, relationship problems, becoming a dad as well. That was a big responsibility for me, because struggling with my mental health and then becoming a dad, I had to be the strong person. I had to become strong and a role model and a father. And all these factors were a massive build-up. So for me, I used to have thoughts sort of most evenings about how to do it and how to approach the attempt. And it was a build up over about 6 months. And for me, I wouldn't make any sign to anyone that I was attempting to do it. It was all suffering in silence and planned. And for me, I set my alarm clock for 4 o'clock in the morning for Tamar Bridge, the local bridge, where that was my way of escaping the pain. And that was all I was ever thinking. It was like, I just don't want the pain. I don't want anybody else to feel what I'm feeling. And I don't want anybody to feel that I'm a burden to them. And at the time in my work placement, and I was shoved to different departments because I wasn't accepted because of my mental health and having the problems being a father with accessibility and not holding down relationships. I was just thinking to myself, I'm just not ready anymore. I'm just not in a position to carry on because I haven't got the fight. And for me, loneliness was a big thing because I didn't have a support network at the time. The relationships I was in with friends was more of associates rather than friends. I was used as a wingman to go out on the lash. I was in a relationship with women where it wasn't right. I was very much used because of my vulnerability. They sensed it. So for me, you know, I just exceeded all help. And for me, there was no educational awareness of what help that was available. And at that time, at 2012, the mental health services wasn't as active and available like it is now. So for me, I thought, there is no hope. And for me, there was no hope. I didn't have any education or self-care techniques or any support groups around or nothing. Mm. And that's why I was in that position. That's why I was ready. And it's only when I was sitting on the local bridge at that time of morning that somebody actually came up to me, Johnny, and sat down with me and was really just reassuring me with no judgment and was very much calm sitting next to me, no eye contact, and being so relaxed. Now, that meant everything. And he probably saved my life, that guy. I mean, I am in contact with him now still. And he probably saved my life, if I'm honest. Well, I know for a fact. And that lives with me because that persona and that, you know, the way he came across and the way he talked is exactly what I needed, but for everyone else as well. And that's the education I give to people. If they are suffering in the workplace, if they're not performing at work, if they're not cracking those jokes, it's just about how do you really relate, you know, not relate, but just approach somebody without being too forceful, too judgmental. And that's through my experiences. I know what I needed. And that's why, you know, with the job I do and the talks, I've been there and done it. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm proud of that. But also I know that it's something that people need to know that, you know, it's not the answer. And, you know, taking your own life is not the answer because, you know, there is hope. There is, you know, there is help available. There is accessibility to professional help. But people may not know that.
Yeah. I mean, firstly, thank you so much for your like honesty on that. And like, you're remarkable, mate. I mean, that's a hell of a story. And, you know, I always hate that when I say that story, it feels very like I'm demeaning it, but I'm not. It's just like that's the power behind what you do right there. That's what fuels you every day, knowing what you felt like when you were sat on that bridge. And thank God for that person that came along. I mean, wow, you know,
yeah.
And it's just like for you to sit in that moment, that's something I'm sure you'll never forget. So for you to be able to have that experience when you're talking to somebody else, it's very rare that someone is at rock bottom and someone else sits there with them and says, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. I know.
Yeah. Like, I know how you feel. You know, I was in a situation recently that was very difficult and I looked at somebody and they said, you know, I know how you feel. And I looked at them and I said, you actually do though. Like, you actually do know how I feel. Because when you're in that pain, you feel like no one else knows. No one else gets it. No one else understands how you feel in that moment. You feel like you're going absolutely crazy and there's nothing you can do about it. And yeah, like, you know, suicide does start to look alluring, you know, unfortunately. And that's what we need to keep an eye on people for, because it's not just about you or somebody else understanding how they are feeling at the time. It's other people responding to that person. As you say, you're going into work with all those thoughts in your head and you're still getting that lad banter and you're not strong enough for that. You're not strong enough for that. And I'm not saying everyone should change around them, but something does need to change. Like, people do need to be more understanding that blokes, that, you know, that big, strong, burly bloke that looks like he's got he could put the world on his shoulders. He could be having struggles. You'll never know.
Yeah,
you'll never know. And it's like, maybe you didn't ask. I don't know. But I mean, after time and reflection, what were the lessons that you think you were able to take from them challenging times?
Yeah, I think for me, communication was a big thing because I obviously suffered in silence. So having the confidence and inner strength to really have a conversation with people at work, friends, to know that I'm actually not alone. It's just me that was blocking people out and stuff because it was my way of not being seen as a burden.
Yeah.
I'm not hurting people and dragging people down with me.
Did that create more guilt, did you think? Do you start to feel guilt about like, oh my gosh, I'm putting this on other people all the time and, you know, they'd be better off without me, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was my mindset, you know, but it was only the stigma perceived. And when I sort of battled the stigma and my mindset became sort of clearer, then I started to just communicate and, you know, sort of obtained sort of some research on how to deal with anxiety attacks, how to deal with depression, combining physical exercise with mental exercise and things like that were something I just carried on my own back, really. And I started to really just get a grasp of my diagnosis of myself, really, and understanding. I started to love myself, really. And
I love that.
Where I'd just neglected myself before and not giving myself love, if it's decent food, if it's physical exercise and stuff, I started to change, you know, and that, you know, coincided with counselling and therapy. I started to blossom, really. And this is what I implement into my community, you know, community talks and even my clients if they need it, because they not necessarily have the education or awareness of what to do. And, you know, that's what I've learned, really. You know, communication was a big thing, Johnny, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've written some notes there. Like you say, communication, you talked about research as well, like researching how you were feeling, because I think no matter what people say, there's something to be said. There's a reason why community is so important. It's because you want to be able to turn around to people who know how you feel and don't judge you, because there are people in this world who are very fortunate. They don't have like past traumas that they need to get their head around. And, you know, they don't have that capability to understand how you're feeling. And thank goodness, yep. Because obviously you wouldn't wish it upon anybody. But what it does mean is that, you know, you might be talking to the wrong people, because that communication is important. But it's also important that you speak to the right people, the people that can hear what you have to say. And can sit with you in that space, because some people, bless their hearts, they don't mean it, but will give you advice like, oh, it'll get better, or cheer up, or it's not that bad, or at least this, you know, and all that sort of stuff. That's not helpful to that person, you know. Actually, there's nothing, there's probably no words that you can say that are going to change their mindset. And it's not about words, it's about sitting with that person and them not feeling alone, you know. But I think most of the time, a lot of this stuff is exactly as you just said, it's about self-neglect. Like what we nurture grows. And if we nurture the misery and the, you know, the damnation of it all, then that's where you will end up. But if you can try your hardest to keep nurturing, like you said, you grew to love yourself. And that's what was needed, because you need to love yourself first before you can love other people. Sounds really difficult. And sometimes at the beginning, it might look a little bit like, you know, getting to know yourself, even learning to like yourself, good and bad, because we've all got stuff about us that we're not particularly happy about that we'd like to change. Yeah. But it is what it is. But I mean, what do you think is the most frequent challenges that you've seen people face through your clients? And what are the sort of really, you know, frequent things that come up a lot?
Very good question, that, Johnny. The biggest challenge that I see with my clients is childhood trauma. That's the big one, where they go through bullying at school, they go through relationship breakups in their 20s, or if it's at home in their environment. Sometimes that's not dealt with when they're going into adult life and do independent living and things like that, which is the same for me. And that inner child's not dealt with. And there becomes triggers then in their adult life, if it's with potential relationships, if it's a smell, if it's the job, and that's never tackled. So it's about really identifying what those triggers are, the struggles, etc., and just really getting awareness and love for the inner child, because I'm all about the inner child. I'm all about the you know, the blossoming of what we have in ourselves with our child. We've all got it. We've all got the inner child. It's about how we love that inner child and about how we can just nourish and just love ourselves, you know. I mean, that's what, that's usually the most common struggles that my clients have. And it's a relatable thing, because so many of us can relate without having an education, and unless somebody says it, like, have you ever thought about using this, or have you ever thought about having an awareness of your past or a childhood experience? And it's a big thing.
And I think as well, the language, you know, you deal a lot with males, and I think with males there is a huge issue around language. You say the word life coach to a man, you get the eye roll and all that sort of stuff. You know, because I coach, and you know, they'll say, oh, what are you doing now? I'll say, oh, I'm coaching. And they'll go, what, life coaching? And they'll have this big judgy look on their face. And, you know, that language is sort of a bit of a barrier for some guys. But the words like vulnerability as well is another word that men don't like. Inner child work, you know, you'll more or less get laughed at if you say that. But, you know, what I can hear from you is that you know, you're articulate, you change the language, you almost go in a bit stealth. You know, and you have to do that sometimes, because what you're saying in essence is that, you know, inner child work is not always about a complete separation between adult and child. It's the fact that we are always that child. Yeah. Like it's a human's construct that we go from child to adult. You know, we made that up. Like there was no day where you were officially knighted an adult, you know, you still carry those understandings as a kid. And if you wasn't nurtured in certain areas of your life, whether that's and sometimes it's not deliberate, it doesn't always have to be a bad parent who did stuff. Sometimes it's a parent who was parented a certain way. Maybe they're a bit cold. Maybe they show love in a different type of way. And you take that on as rejection or whatever. And all of that stuff is so important, because if you experience rejection as a child, you will look for it everywhere as an adult.
Absolutely.
Absolutely everywhere.
And just, you know, just going on to like childhood stuff, you know, like memories and things. We all love childhood memories. We all grasp and sort of hold on to our childhood memories, and rightly so, if it's Christmas, if it's birthdays and stuff. And I always designate a night a week to have like a music night. So I do a bit of mixing and whatever as a therapy tool.
Love that.
Excuse me. Yeah. So I have a bit of a mixing night. So I've got all the old school music on, like 80s soul and R&B. And that's my favorite music. But I tend to have the music videos sort of on the screen as well. And I'm like, whoa, I'm a little bit of like natural meditation here, because I'm sitting there, I've got my music on, I've got like a beer or whatever, and I'm having all these memories of like my childhood with like the 6 weeks holiday, little trips away, like my first girlfriend, ice creams, like all these feelings, you know. And it's really important that all of us just grasp onto our, you know, past memories, because, you know, they're emotions, they're feelings. And sometimes we're not in tune with our feelings and as much as we probably should be. And that's a really good way of just having a, you know, a real sort of sense of happiness.
Yeah. And you know what? What you just said is absolutely bang on, because people aren't in tune with their feelings. We ignore our feelings a lot. And actually, one thing we do a lot is we mistake our thoughts for feelings.
Yeah.
And the thing about thoughts is like you can build a nice big worry wall with thoughts. One thought leads to another thought, leads to another thought. But generally, if you are experiencing an emotion, it's that emotion. And it's just hard to, you know, it's hard to target that and to know what you're feeling. A lot of people say, well, I was angry. And I say, well, no, angry is a reaction. What was you angry about? You know, and it's like once you realize, oh, I was angry because I was embarrassed or I was ashamed or I felt guilty or I felt rejected. Now we can do something about that. You know, we can talk about that. That has some resolution. But people don't have that connection with their emotions that they used to, well, that they should have maybe. And I think it's amazing that you're helping men, especially, get into in touch with that. It doesn't mean that it's not weak. It's not weak to do that. You know, it's like I read a quote the other day. I'll probably butcher it. And it said something like, therapy's for you so that you can deal with everybody else who hasn't had therapy. You know, it is true. Like the people that haven't had therapy, they walk around like acting out their emotions all the time. And we don't as much, you know, and it's hard. It is tough. It's very, very difficult to sort of watch people make mistakes. You know, it can be really, really tricky. But what do you think about, you know, your coaching style, you say utilizes clients both heads and hearts. And I really, really loved that, the way you wrote that on your website. And I love that approach. What does that mean for someone that might not understand?
Yeah, so it's just basically like I'm all about intuition. I'm all about gut feelings. I'm all about, we've all got, you know, a path in life and whatever. And sometimes that goes missing with our lives. Sometimes we don't really use our hearts. And it's just, you know, to use our minds with ideas, but to have that heart to really go with it is a different thing. So sometimes we can have one or the other, but if they're two combined and we can express our feelings and our thoughts, which is basically what it is, then really you can't go wrong. Sometimes it's one or the other. And I'm doing it all the time. I'm like, this afternoon, do I go for a food shop? And it's like, yeah, the weather's nice, I might just chill. But as you can see,
we know what you're going to do.
but for me, it's like I've got to have the two together. So if I'm feeling it as well as having that thought, then I'm going to do it. And sometimes we might do something that's like of half interest. We might go with our heads and rather than our feelings and whatever. And sometimes we regret it because we're not fully committed. And that goes in life, actually. That goes in all walks of life. If it's, you know, a relationship breakup, if it's, vulnerability, if it's, you know, feeling insecure, you know, we're not in tune with our feelings as well as our minds. So that's basically what I introduce as techniques to my clients. And obviously there's different examples I use, but that's the, not challenges as such, but that's the sort of awareness and education I'm giving to these people, because they're only, they're not using both feelings and thoughts. And when I do introduce these techniques, and give them sort of options and sort of some little challenges to seek, then they find it makes such a difference, because they're fully in it and they fully have control of their mindset and their sort of feelings. And it's really important, because I sort of neglected and didn't have an education of me and my sort of outlook, and, you know, with gratitude and so much more. But the more, I mean, the decisions I make now in life, and, you know, if it's going on holiday, if it's, you know, buying something for the house or whatever, has to be a fully committed decision, both head and heart. And, but that goes for everything. That goes for any scenario in life. That's quite important. And there's no difference in if that's seeking help professionally, if that's seeking a counsellor, a coach, or changing jobs. I mean, jobs is a big one. I'm finding that with my clients, is that they're stuck in the same job because they feel it's comfortable and they're scared of change. Yeah. But if you go with your heart and you go with your mind, and you fully want to do it, then you have to, because your heart's telling you, your feelings are telling you, you can't stay there because you're unhappy.
Yeah.
The moment that you have those feelings, the moment you have that intuition and sort of, you know, just that awareness, then that's the moment you need to strike, and having that confidence, going outside the box, and actually just take life with the horns, really, and just go for it.
Ah, mate, absolutely love that. And I love what you said as well about how you sort of train people, educate people to use their heads and their hearts through challenges, because the challenges create experiences, don't they? It's like when I do something called a value session. And if I was just to sit there and say to somebody who, you know, what's your core values? You know what they're going to say. They're going to say family, honesty. And that might be some of their values. But what about the ones you don't want me to know about? You know, because they're the ones that you're not pursuing, you know, because it's always about self-neglect, isn't it? It's about us not doing what's right for us, staying in the relationship too long, staying in the job too long, staying in whatever too long, a friendship, whatever it is, you know? And it creates that unhappiness, not just for you, but for the other people involved too. And that's how it gets complicated, isn't it? You know? So yeah, I think that heads and hearts is you know, I was talking to a lady called Kate Kelly once, and she said, if it's not a full body yes, then it's a no. And I think
absolutely.
And I think that's a really nice way to frame it.
Yeah. But, that's so true.
Yeah, it has to be. If there's any doubt inside you, look into it. There's a reason why you're having it, you know. Believe it or not, the human bodies have got everything they need. It's only us that gets in the way.
So we
really do. We have all the things that we need to move forward. But I mean, how important do you think it is for a person to learn to experience that vulnerability you talk about? How important do you think that is?
Oh, it is, because it shows that, you know, that you can get over to the other side. You can sort of learn from it. You can, that you are real, that you're not a robot, that there are feelings. And sometimes the only way to have or sort of overcome challenges and to be the best version of yourself is to have this vulnerability, because, you know, we question ourselves naturally. Why are we feeling like this? So sometimes people may not have the confidence to do it, but sooner or later, if it gets a little bit common, if you like, if it's a trigger or a vulnerability in an environment somewhere, it's really important that, you know, we go through it, because we are, you know, at the end of the day, we are social beings, and we want to be, you know, happy. We want to be naturally loved and naturally in a good place. And, you know, it's about definition of being right and wrong, and about, you know, what can I do to improve on this? And, you know, I think it's a good thing to go through vulnerability. I know it sounds stupid, but because if you have that sort of upbringing and lifestyle where everything's just perfect, then that for me is not good, because you're not experiencing life and what reality is. So yeah, that's probably what I'd say, really. I can go into it a lot more, but I think for me, like, having that vulnerability is just a natural thing to have. I don't care what anybody says. It's not a weakness.
No.
It's a sign of strength to recognize something might not be quite right. So,
yeah. And quite often I think that the answer is almost always in that vulnerable space. You know, it's like I say to clients all the time, it's like seeing a pot of gold
in a snake in a pit full of snakes, but you're scared of snakes. It's yeah. like you want to grab that gold so badly, it'll make the biggest difference in the world, but there's snakes there, you know, and it's horrible. Or it's like seeing the answer on the other side of a thorn bush, and someone says, "Oh, how'd you get through the thorn bush? You got to go through it, mate."
Yeah, and exactly.
It's really hard, but that's why you're avoiding it, because that vulnerability is terrifying. It's like I saw a thing that Will Smith did again, randomly talking about Will Smith again, where he was talking about skydives, and he was talking about how fear is the bit before you do the thing. Yeah. You know, so he was saying, "I felt terrified. The whole way I was going up in this plane, I was terrified until the moment I jumped, and then I felt absolute bliss." And that's vulnerability. Once you sit in that space and you allow yourself to experience those feelings and them emotions, oh man, change is about to happen. It's about to happen, you know?
The amount of people that I, you know, speak with, probably like yourself and probably anybody watching this can relate, is that anything like that, if it's a sky jump, if it's something out of their comfort zone that's quite challenging, the moment they do it, you always get that response. I'm so glad I did it. You know, I'm so glad I've done that. I feel so good. I'm like got a massive boost. And that goes to any other situation where, you know, if it's going out your comfort zone to do a social meet, if it's bingo, or if it's doing something that make you feel a bit uncomfortable, you know, if a bit scared or whatever. But the moment you do it and just get outside that box a little bit and just go out of your comfort zone, you don't look back really, because it is it's the sense of the unknown. And sometimes we have our barriers up because we're scared. Obviously, we're protecting ourselves.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, with a little bit of reassurance, a little bit of encouragement in the right way with our peers and people around us, you won't look back, because 9 times out of 10, it's like, why didn't I just do this in the first place?
It's always the case, isn't it? And I think a lot of the time, those experiences are surrounded by our environment, which is like the people, places and things that influence us. You know, there are going to be people in your life that are really good for you, or just good for a certain reason. And there are going to be people out there that are always going to try and force you to see life through their lenses. And that is not always helpful. And then, as you say, like, there are things like these phones, for example. They're brilliant, but and they're a great tool. But they take away from us too, you know, things like social media and stuff, which everybody knows about. But you have to have boundaries around it, because I saw something on social media the other day, and they said, would you allow 100 people to walk into your bedroom first thing in the morning and tell you what they were thinking? Because that's what you do when you have social media. And it's like, wow, it's so right. Like, you know, you could be thoroughly annoyed from the second you wake up, you hit the loo, you're on your phone, you come out the loo pissed off. It's like, hey, you don't even know why, you know? It's because you see something that's triggered you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can relate, but I'm all about sort of journaling. I'm all about sort of having structure for my week ahead. So I always plan something in there where I have a social media detox. So like a couple of days a week in the evening where the phone will just stay up all night, you know, in the bedroom. And then I'm in the living room with my partner and the dog, and just actually having conversations rather than just getting lost in translation with the social media and scrolling. And do you know what? Like, consuming other people's stuff, you know, that's a big one. Like, because like my Facebook and Insta, it's like before I'd consume so much energy into negativity, relationship breakups, gossip, all that sort of stuff. But now, like, I always give this advice to anyone, is just make sure your mini feed's right for you and actually just positive. Like, you know, I follow people like yourself. I follow people that are inspirational, that make me feel good, but I also follow pages that make me feel good. So cooking, seeing videos of dogs and the weather, beaches. And my mini feed is actually quite, you know, it's quite a positive. We never used to be, but again, that's just having an awareness and sort of, you know, an education on what can be right for you, really. Do you know what I mean?
It's what exactly as we're saying is that environment, everything plays into your environment. Social media is something that's in your environment. It's like there are things that happen in your day, conversations with people, places you go, things that you use that will change your mood. It will change your mood. They will stop you from being happy and make you unhappy. They will make you unhappy. They will make you happy. They are mood changing things. And we need to be the gatekeeper of our minds sometimes and say,
absolutely.
You know, because I know people that are feeling really sad. So they put sad music on.
And
it's like, Do you want to feel sad? No, I want to feel happy. Then why are you listening to sad music? Why are you surprised that sad music is making you feel sad? This is crazy. Let's not do this. You know, yeah. So it's about like being kind to yourself and asking yourself what you need, I suppose. But just a last question, really. Like, do you have any tools that you can offer to people in this moment that will help them get through those challenging times?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I always say to anyone that may be struggling watching this, or you know, if it's in a community, is just don't be hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up what might be going on in your environment. Don't feel that you have to take on the world. If it means having baby steps, if it means not doing everything in 1 week, if it's going out seeing friends, be kind to yourself and just really just have an understanding what's going on if things are not quite right. So have a bit of research on if it's a trigger, if it's something making you low. Don't be afraid to change that environment. Don't be afraid to change your friends, your work, or anything that may be triggering you or making you feel down, because you know, we only live once. We've only got one life. I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but life gets so quick when you get, especially my age now at 42, I don't know where these 12, 15 years have gone, mate. So I always ensure with journaling, with a positive mindset, is that, you know, I'm in control. I understand what's going on if things are not right. And you know what? Talk to people in, you know, your work, talk to your friends, talk to your partner, because it's so important to talk, because, you know, I know we don't want to put a burden on people, but that's just a stigma. That's just what we're scared of, because we don't know what reaction we might get. But in actual fact, you'd be surprised what reaction you would get. Not just because of, you know, people wanting to help, because it's a massive sign of strength, you know. It's a massive sign of strength to reach out and you know, really start the conversation. And I always say to people, it's about understanding, accepting and talking. Those three elements about if it's a mental health condition, if it's a struggle. And, you know, don't be afraid to, like I say, don't be afraid to just be kind to yourself and don't feel bad for being lazy, because a lot of people feel guilty for feeling lazy if it's having a duvet day. Just listen to your body, listen to your mind, because they're making that feeling known for a reason. And I'm, you know, I could watch, I don't know, Cobra Kai bot set or something, Star Wars or whatever. Favorite.
Why did you pick Cobra Kai of all things?
Oh mate, I got into it in lockdown. My partner was like, you've got to watch it, because again, an 80s nostalgia thing.
Yeah, I love it.
And I was like, yeah, okay. I thought Netflix, American comedy, whatever. Yeah. I might not like it, but absolutely loved it. And it just made me feel like a kid again. So, and it was just a feel good. It was funny. Yeah. It was a bit of everything in there. And yeah, I just, you know, for me, it's just like that. That's probably what I would advise, really.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, I share the name Johnny Lawrence with the Cobra Kai guy. He's the reason. Yeah, he's the reason why I'm the self-development coach, because he's bugging up my SEO. I had to change my actual name. It's my real name.
Because when we connected, when we started to sort of interact on Insta, it was one of those where Johnny Lawrence, I've heard this name. And now you're like, oh my God, crazy.
The thing is, mate, I couldn't look any different to him. It's really quite troubling, it really is. But there you go. But mate, that's great advice. I mean, just to recap on some of the things that you were saying, communication, researching some of the ways that you're feeling and some of the solutions, exercise, whether that's physical or mental exercises, always trying to keep tipped up on that. It, you know, becoming aware of your environment, the people, places and things that are involved in it. And you didn't say the word ego, but there was a couple of times where I felt like some of the things you were saying were related to ego, especially in men, because I think men have this expectation of how a man should be. And sometimes some women play into that. It's a very challenging situation all the way around. And I think there's a real feeling sometimes with men that we're not allowed to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to say the things, you know, we've got to be the man or whatever that means.
Seen as a strong one, yeah.
And that's hard. That's an expectation that's often put on, you know. I watched a family some time ago, and a young boy was crying. And this woman said, stop being a girl, stop crying. And I was like, wow, look at that training right there, you know. Now, that's not her fault. Maybe that was the way she was parented. But it's stuff like that that people don't realize. Yeah. As a young kid, that's being soaked up and made into a belief system, you know.
Yeah, that's a massive topic, mate, in itself. And that's a really good point, Johnny, because, you know, the old school mentality of like man up and, you know, don't cry because it's weak and all stuff. I mean, a lot of parents implement that with kids naturally because they don't know any different. I'm not saying it's a fault. But that lives with that young person, because if they go into school and they're getting bullied and they're getting called horrible names, I'm like, well, I want to cry, but I can't because it's seen as a weakness. No. I did a post this morning on crying, actually, about, you know, I took myself to Plymouth Hoe, which is a lovely part of the world, 7:30 this morning, and just had a nice cry, just let it all out, because it's perfectly okay to. But, you know, it is perfectly okay. And I wanted to share with everyone, because, you know, there's no stigma. But, you know, with kids, especially growing up, it's like they're sort of built to not have those feelings because of the environment of upbringing and maybe schools in the past and lack of education. So absolutely, mate.
Yeah. And I suppose that's what we're saying, just to close things down, is that, you know, those words that we say to our children, they educate them on how to be. We're modeling behavior to them all the time. I'm not perfect. I get it wrong frequently with my kids. I say things and then I have to go back and explain that I didn't mean what I said, and that I said this because of this and because I was scared and stuff like that. And, you know, they've seen me cry and they've seen all these different things. And it's really important, because if you're not allowed to experience your emotions, how are you going to understand them?
Yeah,
how?
Absolutely.
How? Like, you know, and it's about understanding yourself and what you will actually do in situations, not what you think you would do, not what you want to do, what you will really do. You know, if we don't deal in truth, then, you know, we're dealing in lies, aren't we? You know, but I mean, go ahead.
I'll just say, it's just bringing normality into a child's life when they're growing up. It's just normal. It's not something that's unnormal. Yeah. That's all it is, isn't it?
No, you're right. Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. I could do this for hours. It's been bloody brilliant, actually. I've really enjoyed it. Turns out we're the same age as well, mate. I don't know what you found the Fountain of Youth by the look of it. I haven't got that. Like in Plymouth, is it? Is that the home? Is it? Is that where it is?
it's all this sunshine, mate. That's what it is.
All this tropical weather.
It's all the tropical weather. It's all the dog walks. It's actually, my partner's been a massive influence on me by sort of encouraging me to change my diet a little bit. And just little things that I needed to just touch on, where it was a bit of a rough diamond in many ways. But yeah, I honestly, mate, I put it down to a positive mindset, confidence, and in a right way with confidence, and just having self-belief. And, you know, I was like, probably you and a lot of people that could probably relate watching this, people in walks of life are going to try and criticize, down you, gossip about you. But it's made me stronger. It's because they're doing it for a reason, because they're jealous of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And for me, it's probably for the first time in my 42 years that I actually don't actually give a damn what other people think anymore. I don't, because I've dealt with it. I've dealt with it. And, you know, and I say to anyone, and it's easier said than done, but I say to anyone that's watching this, don't care about what other people think, just construct your own lane, you know?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, their life is made up of their experiences, their value systems, their limiting beliefs, and all they're trying to do is cast that onto you. They don't mean it. They're not trying to be unkind. It's just the way it is for them, and they don't understand your life, you know? And that's okay. They're not supposed to. Someone wants to get in on the podcast.
We've got some dogs next door that are kicking off. I think it's a bit like Crufts in this street. All these dogs are all over the place. My dog's here, actually. Crumpet, come here.
Being a good dog.
Come here. My dog doesn't want to be on the podcast. He's sunbathing in the garden. But
fair one. Yeah. No problem. Mate, listen, just tell people what's next for you and where they can find you.
Yeah. So, you know, for anyone that may be interested in following me or getting an idea about what I do and an insight, I'm on Instagram as Paul Thompson Official. I am on Facebook, but I don't really use it. My website is all on the Instagram link. And basically what I do is just really get that awareness out there of mental health, men and women, as well as children. And I say, with my life coaching, I'm always open to speak with anyone that wants any advice or a free consultation. But also my awareness talks, if there's anybody watching this that may benefit from a talk, if it's a school, an employer, and feel free to get in touch, because, you know, I'm all about giving back.
Oh, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope this is the start of a good friendship. We seem like we get along, you know. Shoot me down go on.
considering you're about an hour away, I think we should meet up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that. We'll plan that off of the podcast, shall we?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, mate. Listen, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thanks for doing this. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Take care, mate.
Cheers, bud.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
That's all from me for this episode. Thanks again to my podcast producer, Charlie, from Chatter Podcasts, and I'll catch you next time for another episode of the Self-Development Podcast.